All right, so welcome to the Wednesday, April the 25th, 2018 FatherHeart.tv webcast with Mark Jide, which is this good-looking guy here, and Barry Adams.
Which is this good-looking guy.
As you can tell, this is we have been doing these webcasts for 8 years, or nearly 8 years now, and we have been broadcasting from two separate locations every time. And this is the first time in 8 years that we've actually been in the same room to do a webcast. So we're like two little kids in a candy shop. We've been looking forward to this. As you can tell, we're already starting to have fun. And Mark has come down and visited us in Canada and spent the last few days, and we've been really enjoying our time together. Today we spent a lot of time in the office doing all kinds of technical things, which we both love to do. So. Yeah, so welcome to the webcast. We just pray that this would be an opportunity for us to all go deeper.
Yeah.
And I just even think it's so cool with us being in the same room. It's just even a different dynamic than anything that we've had up until now. So, but Mark, would you open in prayer?
Yeah,
then we'll see where we go.
Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity just to have some fun together, just to be together, just to share life together. And Father, just as we spend this hour together this afternoon,
mm-hmm.
We would just go deeper into your extravagant love. And we touch something new, a new expression of your heart this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I just want to pray a particular blessing on Sue, who's in hospital recovering from that hip operation. Just bless her and heal her and restore her quickly, that she'll have a new lease of life from this operation. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your great love. And we're just looking forward to what you want to say to us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. All right. You want to start off, mate?
Yeah. So we were just sort of together these last few days. And last night, we kind of said to each other over the supper table, what are we going to talk about tomorrow? And we looked at each other blankly, like, oh, yeah, we've got a webcast. So then we kind of thought, hey, what about talking about finding life, and what does life look like, and what is an expression of life? And because like these last few days, just together, we've had a lot of life together, and it's been over the breakfast table, over a cup of coffee. Just has been we've been walking around. We've been to a wine tasting, a beer tasting, and a gin tasting, and had a lot of fun doing that. We've talked for hours just about the things that mean a lot to us. We've talked about our families. We've talked about technology. We've talked about the websites. We've talked about the Father, and you know, endlessly. Like we just fire off questions at each other. You know, hey, what do you think about this, Barry? What do you think about this, Mark? And it's just been incredibly enjoyable from my point of view. You know, I trust we've found life together.
Absolutely.
In doing that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life in all its fullness. And I just kind of wonder what that looks like.
Mm.
And I don't think it's limited to what we would call maybe a spiritual expression. I mean, I think that's part of it. But when Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life to the full, life abundantly, it's like every part of our lives is like an abundant provision of his life flowing through us.
Yeah.
And so just sitting around having a cup of coffee, sitting in the hot tub, walking around the streets, you know, it's just been life.
Mm.
And it's been enjoyable, it's been fun. It's been enriching for me. It's been really enriching. It's been relaxing. It was great last night. Barry's family came over, and just to be part of that, their family, it was just special. And I, you know, I sat at the end and thought, well, what a beautiful evening, you know. And it was life, and I felt like that's kind of like what the Father wants us to enjoy, and. Yeah, I know we have hard times, and I know there's difficulties, and I know there's struggles. But even in the midst of all of that stuff, there's a way that we can find life.
Mm.
And I think one of the big ways we find life is we find life with one another. Mm. You know, the source of life is the Father, is His life coming into us. And as we talked about last week about remaining in love, like being connected to the source of love, that's like so important, and that's always got to be the, you know, the main thing, keeping the main thing, as Barry will often say. But I think we find life from one another. And we can find negative life from one another. You know, you can mix around with the wrong people, can't you?
What are you looking at me for?
And you can take on what they're carrying, and that can rub off. But I think there's a lot of life we can find together, yeah. And just encouraging one another, and the life flow that is kind of like multiplied. Mm. So that's kind of just a few random thoughts to kick us off.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, and I think, you know, the scripture in the Psalms says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell in unity, right?
Yeah.
And I think we've been really enjoying just the good and pleasant, just the fun of just being two little boys who have the same big dad, and we've been actually enjoying ourselves there. It was... one of the other night we were it was dark, and we were looking at the stars in the sky. We were actually in the hot tub, and we were just sharing life together. We were just talking about just things that are meaningful for us, and mm-hmm. we were just supporting one another. And all of a sudden, both of us saw this shooting star.
Amazing!
It was crazy, wasn't it?
Like, yeah.
It was so. I've never seen anything like this. Like usually when I see a shooting star, it's kind of a white, just a little white streak that goes across the sky, right? And you go, what was that? But this, it looks so close, and it was like it had a tail on it, and it looked like fireworks, because we thought like it seemed too close,
yeah, yeah,
to be a shooting star, but there were no fireworks in the area.
And it wasn't an airplane.
And it wasn't an airplane, no.
<that. laughs>
And it just had this tail, and it seemed to go on longer than a normal shooting star would be. And I just felt like here are two little boys just talking, just enjoying the friendship and the fellowship. And here we are sitting in a hot tub, and Papa Jesus goes, you know what? I'm just going to encourage them with this amazing shooting star. And I really do think that it's just the Father's affirmation, yeah, that when we are able to just see His affirmation in everyday life and everything that we do. It's not in the spiritual and the unspiritual, when we're laughing and just having the time of our lives, meeting family, talking about our concerns, talking about things that are the longings of our heart. I just believe that the Father is just so pleased with that. And even like for me, Mark and I, we haven't seen each other since
7 years,
right?
Yeah, 7 years.
And when we were in New Zealand together, and of course we see each other every week on the webcast, and we're in touch quite often during the week. But it was just like there was we didn't really miss a step, right? It was just like, you know, it wasn't like, it was like I saw you last week,
yeah,
which I did see you last week on the webcast, but it was just this sense of just that unity. And I think one of the things that really strikes me with our friendship, you know, it's on many different levels, but even today, and we designate it today as tech day, right? As techie day is that, you know, because it's a rainy day here, we thought, okay, before the webcast, you know, let's get all of our tech questions out and try to sort out. And of course, as always, Mark always seems to bail me out. And, you know, he's got that accountant forensic kind of precision that I don't have. And so, but it just really reminded me of some of the things that bring joy to us and bring life to us. And, you know, some of you who are watching the webcast, you know, the tech stuff might be the least thing that you're interested in. And that's totally okay too.
Yeah.
And I really believe when Jesus said, I've come to have that you might have life and have it to the full, to the super abundant life, that I really believe that the Father wants us to really enjoy the fullness of,
yeah,
of everything that He has entrusted to us with. And I think the more that we are awakened to His love and His goodness and almost His normalness, if that mm-hmm. makes any sense. Like sometimes we super spiritualized things, and we don't necessarily, we're not aware of his ongoing presence. And when we see the, you know, nature, or watching, we were, you know, we were doing some bird watching and taking pictures the other day, and like, it's just like, it's in that place to find life, you know. And I even think of if anybody's ever watched the movie Chariots of Fire, and there's the do you remember his name? I forget his name, but the runner who's
Eric Little.
Eric Little, yeah. and he was fast. He was a missionary to China, so there was a very deep yeah. spiritual expression in his life. But he was fast, right? And I believe that one of the quotes that he says in the book and in the movie is, "Is God made me fast, mm-hmm. and when I run, I feel His pleasure." And so, you know, my encouragement, and I think our encouragement together is, you know, when we are going through life, it, you know, is to really be sensitive and to be open to the things in your life that where you feel the Father's pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, and oftentimes, you know, we might not associate it with God. Like I know I've said on the webcast before, when I grew up, you know, I became a Christian at 15 and I went to bless their hearts, but a tad legalistic church, you know, in the early days. And I just kind of made the assumption that my desires and the things that I really felt joy for must be in opposition to what God's plan and purpose was. And I was afraid He would send me to a country I didn't want to go, marry a woman I didn't love, that kind of crazy stuff. But I, you know, the more that we understand that God is a true father to us when He yeah. promises that, I yeah. will be a father to you. He fathers us in every area of our life, in the joys. He's mm-hmm. with us in the pain and the sorrow, in the everyday normalness of life. And so I think that's just what we wanted to kind of unpack of what we're enjoying this week. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, some of the joy that we're experiencing will be passed on yeah. to you guys too.
So one of the things we were talking about a couple of times this week, it's like obviously this techie sort of stuff we enjoy and we have a lot of fun with, and we kind of think we know a little bit of what we're doing. Well, you know, I mean, you know, in terms of pressing the right button. And it was like, you know, how many, so with all the promises and all the daily readings, how many seeds have you sown across the internet? How many, was it 100 million?
Well, yeah, they're like digital seeds, not 100 million people, but what I call a digital seed, like one of the things that I feel like I'm called to do, and it's maybe unusual, but it's kind of comes with the package of me, is that every time that we have an email go out that's read, every time that somebody visits a website, anytime somebody has a Facebook impression where they see what we post, that's called the digital seed. So, yeah, and it just in this one project that we did is called the 365 Promises, you know, and I'm a bit of a numbers guy. I got to be careful about that. But, yeah, just over, like, I figure over 100 million digital seeds have gone out over the years with just that one digital project.
So we were talking about this, and the numbers were flashing around, like 100 million, you know, da-di-da-di-da. And it's like, this is, for Barry, this is the thing that, gives in life, he loves doing it. It's he understands the technology, and it's kind of like, wouldn't it be great if everybody could sort of have this sort of digital, you know, we could throw the seed like widely. And so I'm kind of saying, well, yeah, but you know, we like doing this, Barry. And for other people, it wouldn't be life. It wouldn't be easy. It would be something they might have to take somebody on to do the job of doing. And then instead of being life, it becomes a chore. And so what's life to us and what's fun to us is like other people would look at that and think, there's no way I can do that. It's like, that's just a huge job. That's just, and other people would feel the weight of that. And it would be like overwhelming. And it just wouldn't, it would be death to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that they may get life up from and they might really enjoy would be like death to me.
Yeah.
And it's so easy. And we were talking about this, you know, it's so easy to have a really good idea that actually, yeah, that's a good idea. But if it doesn't bring us life, it just becomes a chore. It might become something we have to manage or we have to get people involved with. And it's kind of like, suddenly there's no enjoyment, there's no pleasure, there's no fun, and it's just hard work. And I think it's really easy for us to fall into that trap of seeing something that's a good idea, and it is a good idea, but if it doesn't have our name on it, you know, we were just talking about, you know, the whole thing about international travel, and yeah, I love going to different places. I love getting on planes. You know, I don't necessarily like all the waiting and all that stuff, but you know, I like seeing the Earth from 40,000 feet and just the geography, and you know, I just enjoy that. But for other people, the thought of that is just like, it's like the worst thing on Earth. And you know, however good an idea it might be for them, it's like, I just don't want to do that. And I just kind of think we really have to keep. We really just have to keep a focus on saying, Father, is this something you're giving me to do?
Yeah.
Is this something that's got my name on it? Is this something that will bring me life? You know, I don't even think we have to, at that stage, we don't even count the fruit or the potential fruit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Barry came into the promises thinking, I'm going to sow 100 million digital seeds. You know, it's like, that wasn't the intent.
Yeah.
But it was something like Father said, hey, look at this. And it's the trap is we see a lot of good ideas, which are just man's ideas. Mm. They can be our good ideas. And all they need is to performance and effort. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, there are some things. You know, I've got to go to work on Monday morning. You know, I've got to sit down and do tax returns. You know, I need to do that. I'm not talking about that because we all have to do those sorts of things. You know, the washing up doesn't get done automatically. You know, you have to do that. The clothes don't get put through the laundry. You know, you have to do that. So there's all these sorts of things that we just have to do because that's part of life. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what is life to us, or the things that can become like a religious duty. And when things become a religious duty, they trap us and they hold us captive. And I believe what the Father is doing is the glorious freedom of the sons of God. He's leading us into freedom.
Mm.
And freedom is freedom. Mm. Freedom is not less bondage than we knew before. But freedom is freedom. And that's what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I the other day I saw a Facebook feed, the news feed of Heidi Baker. And she was illustrating something that I thought was, you know, kind of in the... in the stream of which I really am passionate about, and she had this big guy come on stage. I don't really know where she was, and he had really big feet, and so she asked him to take off his shoes, which are huge, and then they exchanged shoes.
Okay.
So you know, I'm sure she's got very petite feet, and so here she is walking around with these huge shoes on of his, clunking around, and he can't even get his toes into her little heels or whatever, and he's trying to, you know, prance around with her shoes on, and basically the point was is that we can't really walk in each other's steps, right?
Yeah.
We need to be pursuing kind of just the uniqueness of who we're called to be, and I thought it was a great illustration, and I'm not sure who, there is somebody who actually is kind of coined this phrase, and I'm sorry I can't quote the person, but I love the saying, follow your spark, you know. And I think, you know, it's being able to find that spark in our own lives, that thing that brings life to us. And I think, you know, if we spend our lives trying to be like somebody else, I just think we are not only not going to be that person because we weren't built to be that person, but we are robbing the world of us because we are making assumptions that what God is requiring is not something, that's something beyond what we can give. And so I just think part of that freedom journey of just being free to be yourself and receiving the Father's affirmation for who he made you to be is really, really important. So that, you know, and I, you know, we've talked about it on the webcast lots of times, but, you know, the old covenant paradigm of Jeremiah, it says the heart is exceedingly wicked, who can trust it, where we are taught to to mistrust our heart. And of course, that's an old covenant and an unredeemed paradigm for sure. Mm-hmm. But the new covenant, the redeemed paradigm of believers, where in Ezekiel, God said, I will give you mm-hmm. a new heart. I will remove your heart of stone. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put a new spirit in you, and I will put my spirit in you so that you can fulfill my you know, walk in my ways. And I just believe that even this week has been a week of real, a lot of fun and a lot of joy,
yeah.
And it's easy. You know, and not saying that there aren't hard things that have come our way. We all suffer hardship and struggles, and you know, and I think, you know, even in the midst of that, there can be a deep fellowship with one another. Mm-hmm. But I think I think it's really important for us all to understand that we were each and every one of us created,
yeah.
built by God, created to do the good works before the foundation of the world world that He prepared in advance for us to do. That we were. It should be the most doable thing, most mm-hmm. natural thing for us to live our life.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of that is believing that we're loved, that we're lovable the way He made us, that we can start to trust our heart. And you know, and then the new covenant paradigm of Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in us to will and to do according to His good pleasure. So I think that's all part of that freedom dynamic and yeah. in that life that He wants us to live. And because God's never made the same thing twice.
Yeah. And, you know, we're made in His image. And it was C.S. Lewis, I think, who said, joy is the serious business of heaven. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what does that look like? What does all the joy of heaven look like? I think that's a lot of joy. And I think, you know, we kind of struggle to get our minds around that because we've got no framework. Because joy for us is a joy that is dependent on our circumstances. Mm. Whereas actually the joy that He gives us is the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You know, it's love manifested in joy. Mm. And it's like that security of being affirmed by the Father, knowing we're held by Him. You know, I think... You know, I know from my own journey, I've been through difficult times, you know, and I've been through struggles and, you know, seasons that you wouldn't necessarily want to go through, but you know that He's with you. And somehow in the midst of that, you can still feel like a joy and a peace. Mm-hmm. That, and you begin to touch the peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a peace, it's not a joy that's dependent on circumstances, but it's a supernatural one.
Mm.
And I really believe that, you know, yes, there are going to be difficult times, but we walk through those difficult times with our Father.
Mm.
And we walk through those difficult times with one another as well. You know, I think it's so valuable having good friends, who like-minded friends who will tell you the way it is, but who will walk through the struggle with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's just such a valuable gift that we are a gift to one another. And for me, you know, people like Barry, Trevor, and Linda, John, who did the webcast with us. You know, these are people that I know will stick with me.
Mm.
And even in the midst of stuff, you can have a bit of a laugh together. And I just like to encourage you guys that if at the moment it's a struggle, it's a difficult season, you know, who is the Father giving you to walk through this with you? Because yeah. I think we live under this falsehood that we have to get through our struggles on our own,
mm.
and that like yeah, grit my teeth and I'm pushing forward and I'm on my own in this mm. and. Yeah, at the end of the day, there is a sense that we're on our own, but there's another sense that we can walk through this with our brothers and sisters, because our brothers and sisters are a representation of the Father to us,
mm.
and they bring His love with arms on.
Yeah, yeah.
And we need His love with arms on many times.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I think sometimes we have an understanding in kind of a church context that unity is sameness.
Hmm.
and where we all kind of have to sing from the same song sheet and kind of, you know, bang the same drum the same way, and somehow we see that as unity. But I really believe that, you know, nature itself even teaches that every strand of DNA, every blade of grass, every bird, every anything in nature is a one of a kind.
Yeah.
God's never made the same thing twice. And so I really believe that when Mark says, you know, that when you say that we need one another even, mm-hmm. right? Like
yeah.
oftentimes if I'm going through something, and even this week, right, the dynamic of just connecting this way, we are different personalities, even though we share some, you know, like connectivity with, you know, common things with tech stuff, there are different parts of our personality, right? And but it's like when we start to, like when we're secure in ourselves, and if I really begin to believe, and I say I begin, you know, I'm in the journey just like you are, but when I begin to believe that my life is enough and the Father loves me for me,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm not, in the sense, feeling like I should be more like Mark, so I feel, you know what I mean, like that we start to feel threatened or,
yeah.
or insecure, going like I should be more like another person. And then what that does, I think, is it really does kind of shut down something in us, because we're feeling bad about ourselves and we don't feel safe to share. But when we begin to see the gift that we are to each other, that we are different for a reason,
yeah.
so that we have different strengths, so that when I'm having a bad day, Mark might be having a good day, and he might encourage me, and vice versa, right? And so I just believe the more that we permission ourselves first to just kind of, you know, settle into that one of a kind work of art that each and every one of us are, and the more that we give freedom to other people to be that as well, and so that we don't feel that unity is this kind of this great melting pot where, you know, it becomes this homogenized kind of
yeah.
expression. I believe, and I see Kelly, you're on the webcast, and you know, of course, your delight with peacocks, and you just see peacocks and the incredible beauty of the diversity of color, and I just believe in the Father's eyes incredible tapestry
yeah.
of the glory of God, and it's because we're all different,
yeah,
and we can comfort each other, we can encourage each other, we can strengthen each other, we can cover each other's backs, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I received a not too kind email today, which I do get from time to time, and Mark was right beside me, and you know, I mean, I get these and I just kind of, you know, just do that kind of thing. But you know, he read it and I could just see him reading it. He was like a brother saying, like, you know, he didn't like what was said, and but it's just that kind of, you know, kind of camaraderie,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
just encouragement that we can be for each other. But I think it starts with each and every one of us being able to permission ourselves to be us.
Yeah. And that is so important.
Yeah.
I think there's an inbuilt competitivity or an inbuilt sense of competition
mm-hmm.
that we kind of see someone else. So say if you're a worship leader in the church and you've got another worship leader in the church, and you kind of always think they do it better,
yeah,
and so you try to do it the way they do it,
yeah.
and of course, or you lose your authenticity,
yes,
because you've got a God-given way of you leading worship, but I think there's something in us that wants to compete and compare and contrast, and actually that doesn't free us to be who we are,
yeah.
It doesn't free us to live in the individualism that is me. And, you know, if I'm always trying to be like Barry, I mean, you know, I'm never going to succeed. It's just an impossible task.
Who wants to?
Who would want to, you know? And if he was trying to be me, it would be just like miserable for him,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But actually, the Father wants us to be so secure in him.
Yeah.
Because that's where our security comes from. He wants
yeah.
us to be secure in him. Because as we become secure in him, we actually find out who we are.
Yeah.
And then we can live as we are. And, you know, I see so many people trying to be someone else. And it's like, it never works.
Mm.
And
There's a, you know, it's just like, hey, just relax, just be who the Father's made you to be. Yeah. Just let the gifts that he's given. He gave those gifts to you for a purpose.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't think, oh, my gifts are rubbish. You know, Barry's gifts are better. I wish I had Barry's gifts. Well, you know, they wouldn't work through me. And it's finding this place of contentment and saying, Father, I am who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I am who you've made me. And, you know, he didn't make a mistake. And there's 7 billion people on the planet. There's been 7 billion people living up to now. So that's 14 billion variations. And there's going to be more variations. And, you know, let's just settling the issue, I think, of like, this is, I am who I am.
Yeah.
There's always things that can be knocked off us, and edges, rough edges here and there, you know. But, yeah, who has the Father made you to be? What has he put in you? He's put a little bit of his DNA in you. And when we settle into that, it's like that sets our hearts free to be alive.
Mm.
You know, we're truly alive when we are who we're made to be, instead of struggling to be someone else. Mm. And so many of us, I think it's a big struggle for many, many people.
Yeah.
We look at someone else and we compare and we want to be like them. And so we try to do things their way and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But when we say, Father, I'm your son.
Yeah.
You know, what are the words of affirmation you want to speak over me? How do I live in everything that you've given me, rather than trying to sort of take what you've given someone else? How do I live as you want me to? It sets our hearts free.
Mm.
And, you know, what we would look like if we were a community of people who lived in the authenticity of who we each were made to be.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's not permission to strive for independence.
No.
You know, I think some people could hear that in what I'm saying. It's not a sense of I'm going to strive to be independent, but it's actually a reliance on the Father.
Yeah.
You know, independence is reliance on self.
Yeah.
But it's as we rely on the Father, as we rest in his arms, it's like that's when we discover who we really are. And that's freedom. That's liberty. That's the fruitful life of a son.
Yeah.
I really believe the fruitful life of a son or daughter comes out of when we live in love.
Mm.
When we know we're rooted and grounded in love. And then we can live in this glorious freedom.
Now, Mike just asked a question. He just said, how does one get to that place of knowing who we really are, which is a good – I'm sure Mark has all the complete answer for that one. For me, I think one of the things – you know, I can only speak from my own personal testimony in my own life, because I've spent my entire life growing up measuring and comparing and, you know, in judo and all that, great, you know – competing, and so I always felt like I, no matter what I did, it was never enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was never enough to fill the hole that was there, and that I tried to fix through performance, whether it's through religious driving or through sports or even business. But it wasn't until I really heard it from the Father, really, that he didn't love me for everything I did to earn or deserve it, but he loved me because I breathed. That I began to believe, and I'm still in that process. I think it's a continuum for us in varying degrees, but when we start to believe that we are who the Father says we are, that we are his sons and his daughters, and that we are, in the sense, the pearl of great price, that he loves us with an everlasting love. And, you know, Jack Winner used to say, there's nothing you could ever do to make God love you any more than he does right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you could do to make God love you any less than he does right now. And I believe that isn't a license to sin. That isn't a license just to be casual and careless with our relationship. And, of course, we know, right, the more that we are in love with somebody, the more that we will lay our life down for that person for love's sake, because love leads to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
But I truly believe that the starting point is hear the Father say, you are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love, and you I am well pleased. And the more that goes deep into our own spirit, I believe the more that we will begin to believe that we are lovable, mm-hmm. and that will change not only how we see ourselves, but other people.
Yeah. I think, you know, Mike, for me, it was, I guess, again, with my background, having been at boarding school, very much ingrained in me was to either to create a desire in myself to please other people by doing the right thing, or simply just following orders, like, you know, do this, do that, you know, this is what you've got to do. Mm. And, you know, I guess I brought a lot of that baggage with me. And always had a desire to do the right thing to please other people. And I don't, you know, in one sense, there's nothing wrong with pleasing other people, but it pushed me down an avenue of, you know, of performance. And of course, if I do the right thing to please Barry, it might be totally the wrong thing to please somebody else. And then where does that leave me? It's like, I can please Barry, but I can't please someone else. I try and please that person, I end up not pleasing Barry. And I lived a lot of my life like that. Mm. And, you know, and I think the journey for me of the last few years has been very much to say, you know, Father, does this have my name on it? Mm. You know, and is this something you want me to do? Or getting up in the morning saying, Father, what do you want me to do today? You know, I believe Jesus did that. You know, he only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father saying in his life. You know, it's not like getting up in the morning, hey, Father, do I have to go to work today? Because I think the answer would probably be, you know, yes, you probably need to go to work today. It's not that. It's like, you know, Father, what's on your heart for me today? Because I know, and then it's, what I'm doing then is I'm giving him a higher priority in my life than other people. Mm. You know, I think for a long time I would give other people a priority. And then you get into this great quandary of like, I want to please Barry and I want to please this person, I want to please that person. And you end up trying to be all things to all men and nothing to anyone. So I like the verse in John chapter 3, verse 27, where John is talking. It's John the Baptist who's talking here, I think, and he says, John the Baptist replies, a person can only receive what is given them from heaven. And I know Mark Head, who leads Father Heart Ministries, he's done a couple of talks on this, which are absolutely brilliant. They're on the YouTube channel. But it's like, you know, has this been given to me from heaven? You know, is this something that I can really say, yeah, I know I can receive this as from heaven? And I didn't ask that question for so many, many years and so many things. I would just think that's a good idea. Hey, if I do that, that will please my pastor. And yes, I want to do it. And I never stopped to pause and say, hey, Father, is this something that you're giving me to do? Mm. And I'm trying, you know, am I there yet? No, of course not. It's a journey. But it's like, I feel like I'm getting to that stage where I pause and I say, hey, Father, is this something you're giving me? Mm. So I get requests, you know, to do A schools or church conferences and traveling and so on. And it's like, you know, Father, is this one you've given me or is this just a good idea? And I know that coming here this week was a good idea, but I felt like the Father had given it to do as well. And it's been fun. Been hard work. I just think, you know, I encourage you just to pause and say, Father, is this something I need to receive from heaven or is this just another one of my good ideas? Because the reality is we're probably pretty good at having our own ideas, but just to pause and say, hey, is this from you, Father?
Yeah. One of the things, you know, my encouragement when we are looking at our life and, you know, kind of taking stock and just these things, where's the spark, you know, follow that, what gives the Father's pleasure over my life? And my encouragement is that sometimes we over-spiritualize things and, you know, but sometimes it's in the most natural of things how the Father shapes our life. And, you know, for me, I always thought that kind of the epitome of ministry was pastoral. full-time in a church, and of course spent, you know, 19 years in the newspaper business, and I'm thinking, you know, I've got to go into pastoral ministry if I want to go on full-time ministry. And of course, I went in and became a pastor, and it didn't really fit. And I, you know, I'm not very patient with people, as far as, you know, like the sheep biting at your heels. And so I really didn't do well with that until, of course, I came into the revelation of the Father's love, and that kind of, it was like the Father really freed me to be me, you know. And part of that was returning back to the whole area of media, where and I'm a bit slow at the switch, and I didn't really figure it out for a while. But I can remember when the Lord said to me that, you know, he had trained me in a daily newspaper, a secular daily newspaper, for 19 years as a son. And as a son in daily, you know, in media, he gave me authority in the realm of media. Mm-hmm. And so the whole love letter thing and all the things that we've experienced were there. It was preparation through my entire life that I wasn't even aware of. And with a paradigm thinking that this could not possibly be spiritual. I have to leave the secular newspaper business and go into something more spiritual, like pastoral ministry. I honor pastoral ministry, don't get me wrong, but it's got to fit. And, you know, what I think of King David and, of course, his life and being a shepherd boy, yeah, and like just this kind of anonymous life in the fields with a few sheep, and, you know, learning a craft where he killed a bear and he killed a lion, and then, you know, this giant comes into the land, right? And he goes to deliver groceries to his brothers, right? And he hears this, and of course we know the story of David and Goliath. But even when Saul came, who's the king, head taller than anybody else, big guy, David's not so much, and he says, you know, I want to honor you with my own armor.
Yeah.
When you think about it, think about it in the context today. If some, you know, somebody we really spiritually honored and looked up to, and they said, I want you to take on my mantle. Mm-hmm. And you know, we would go like, wow, that's what an honor, right? And it is an honor. But, you know, I'm thankful for that David had the presence of mind and the courage to try on the armor, and like little guy, big armor, king's armor though, so it was the best. And he just went, this isn't fitting, right? Yeah. And so what did he do? He just said, you know, give me a few smooth stones and I'm good. And he defaulted to the preparation that the Father had for him that was unique. Mm-hmm. And we have no idea what would have happened in that story if he would have went out with a big honking sword and all this armor and dragging it along to try to fight Goliath, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, my encouragement to each and every one of us is this whole idea that the Father has been with us all our lives. He knew us before we were conceived. He every one of our days are written in a book, and he, not that everything that has happened to us is good, but he even uses all things to work for good, that he prepares us, and he is uniquely created you and I to be a one-of-a-kind expression of his nature. Yeah. And if we default to Saul's armor instead of the five smooth stones, I think, you know, we are putting burdens on ourselves that really I don't think God wants us to bear.
Yeah. And I think, Mike, you've got it there in one. Our identity is in sonship, not in what we do.
Yeah.
And Barry just touched on it a little bit just a second ago. It's like when we live in that place of sonship, there is an authority that comes with it. You know, the authority of sons is just like when we step into that identity, and there's an anointing. And many of us, we've desperately wanted to be anointed. Yeah. And we've tried to be anointed. But the anointing comes through relationship.
Mm.
And it's like, it's the Father's anointing on us. And there's the anointing, you know, that anointing is for sons.
Mm.
We see that in, you know, the story of you know, Joseph. You know, he was anointed to do, as you know, like to live as a son.
Yeah.
And he was able to bring redemption to his people.
Mm.
And we read of Jesus, you know, when he stood up in the temple and read that passage from Isaiah, you know, he has anointed me to preach good news. You know, he has sent me to the captives. And, you know, I believe we can read that for us. Like we are anointed because we're his sons and daughters to go on his behalf.
Yeah.
And a father anoints his sons. He doesn't anoint the slaves, the servants. And there's like that living in that place where when we live as sons, there's the authority that comes with it.
Mm.
And hey, who knows what can happen?
Sky's the limit, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. And of course, you know, it says in Ephesians 3, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think or hope for or imagine, you know. And so it's not about us being able to work it up in our own ability. It's unto him.
Yeah.
And I just believe that, you know, even, you know, as we're wrapping up the webcast, we want to pray for you guys and pray, you know, of course, for us, because we're with you in this. We're with you in the struggle. You know, I mean, I was saying to Mark, and of course, we're both very aware of the internet and the impact on the internet over the years. And I'm not sure exactly. I would just say to Mark that 100 years ago, if we had ministries, you know, mm-hmm. unless you were, you know, a John Wesley and wearing out horses and all that, you know, you probably had an influence of your village or your community, which would have been wonderful, and it would have been enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but now we live in a like when we started the Father's Love Letter back in 1999, I think there were I said 12, but I think it was 18 million websites worldwide, from what I can remember. And now they say that there's over 1 billion websites. And so, and that's not including social media like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and all these other things. So here we are in a kind of the, you know, the best of times and the worst of times, I think, in the sense that we've never had more access to information, but we've never been more bombarded with information. We've never been more bombarded with opinions mm-hmm. and influences and the ability to compare ourselves and, you know, models who you see people who are Photoshopped. They're not even real expressions mm-hmm. of them, right? They've been changed, and then we compare ourselves with them. And so I just want, you know, like from my own experience, I'm going like, what has that done to our soul? Mm-hmm. Where now, you know, I mean, again, there's some good things about that. We've been able to expand our knowledge and our understanding and ministry and all those things, and we definitely want to take every opportunity to do that. But in the same token, you know, what has that done to our souls, where we see people when we feel less than, and then we feel inadequate, and we start to or live a life trying to be another person? And, you know, it's like that philosopher who said that every person who was ever born was born an original, but the tragedy in life is that many of us die copies. And I think in this internet age, where we have thousands of media messages that are completely, wherever we go, they're everywhere, that tell us, you know, and of course I have a marketing background. I used to, you know, be in the advertising side. And I understand the motivation behind, you know, General Motors or any, you know, where they try to sell cars, right? They mm-hmm. want to get you to buy their product or service. And so they need to touch a need. And I guess my prayer, and what I deal with, is that I just pray that the Father would free us, each and every one of us, mm-hmm. To not be overly influenced by the things that say that we're not enough the way we are, and that we could believe that he loves us the way he made us, that our lives make him smile, and that we were created for his pleasure.
Yeah.
And that when we tie into that place where we feel his pleasure, and whether it's in, you know, leaping tall buildings at a single bound, or, you know, taking a nap in a hammock, that it's all the same to God, and he loves us. Yeah. So that's my heart. I don't know what your thoughts are for praying or anything, but.
Yeah, that we would know. I guess the more we know who our Father is, the more we know who we are. Mm. And it's not the other way around.
Yeah.
It's not the more we know who we are, we discover who he is. But it's the more we know who he is, the more we know who we are. And I hope it's not another 8 years before we do this again.
No, I don't think so. I might have to return the favor.
You might have to return the favor. Hey, that's okay.
So are you guys ready to just receive?
Yeah.
Not from us, but from Papa.
Yeah.
That I just encourage you that no matter how you, what your day's been like, what your week's been like, what your year's been like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus said the thief comes to steal. Kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life to the abundance. And I just believe that the Father wants to mm-hmm. restore things mm-hmm. in our life that might have been lost through an orphan world system that wants to lie and to cheat and to try to steal from us what Jesus died to secure us. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't we just put on the soaking music here and let's just pray.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your goodness that surrounds us. We thank you for your love that surrounds us. We thank you that each one of us is made in your image. And you took a little bit of your personality, a little bit of your character, and you invested it in our lives. And that makes each one of us as valuable as anybody else. And Father, I know so often we have this sense that we're a second-class citizen in your family or in your kingdom. And Father, this afternoon, Father, this afternoon I just ask that if any of us are thinking that way, that you would just change our thinking, that we're not second-class citizens, that we're not inferior, but we are made in your image.
Yeah.
And Father, that would, that vision, if you like, that impartation of your life in us would transform us to become the sons and daughters that we really are. That Jesus was the firstborn of many brothers. And, you know, we're just meant to be like him. That we're predestined to be like him. We were chosen before the foundation of the world to be like him. So, Father, I just very simply ask that we would know with a greater clarity who we really are. That we are your sons, we are your daughters. That we're not a clone of anybody else, but we're simply your son or simply your daughter. And Father, as we discover who you are, that leads us to know who we are, that Father, it would just become life to us. That we really would begin to find life and life in all its fullness, the abundant life you promised us. Father, thank you. Draw us, Father, draw us closer into your heart where we can hear the words of affirmation. We are your beloved son. We are your beloved daughter.
Yeah, thank you, Father, that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. Father, those rivers do not originate in our self-effort.
Yeah.
Those rivers come from you, from the source of life, Jesus himself. But Father, I say yes and amen to everything Mark has prayed, and I ask, Father, for an awakening in our spirit man. Father, I just want to, as Paul said, to stir up the gift that is within us. Father, I pray that there would be a stirring up in the very core of our being of the things that you have placed us, the good works that you prepared in advance for us to do, because we are your workmanship, created to do the good works in Jesus Christ. And I just pray that, even now, Father, that there would just be just that sense of an awareness of the spark that you have put it within us, that the things that we love, and they may not have anything to do with spirituality in the way that we measure spirituality, but Father, we know that there is no separation between the sacred and the secular, Father, that there is the Lord God is one, and when you see us, Father, that you don't compartmentalize our lives. And I thank you that you are the glory and the lifter of our head, and for those who are on the webcast or who are listening afterwards, Father, who are discouraged and who are downcast, and our heads are hanging low because we feel hurt, we feel alone, we feel afraid, we feel discouraged. Father, I pray that just your Holy Spirit would just bring comfort and strength and encouragement to us now, Father. And would you put your finger under our heads that are downcast, and would you lift our chins up so that we could see you and we could see ourselves in you, that we are created in your image. And that we could be imitators of God as dearly loved children, Father, and we would begin to walk with our heads held high, knowing that we are sons and daughters to Yahweh, that we are princes and princes in the kingdom of our God and our Father. Whether we're having a nap or, Father, we're going to the nations, Father, I just pray that the comparisons that we measure ourselves by that bring either judgment or self-condemnation, Father, I pray we'd be free from those things and we would rejoice with those who rejoice and we would weep with those who would weep. And, Father, that there would be a unity, there would be a union that would come in your body, that would be a testimony to the world that you love us, even as you love your Son Jesus. And that your body, Father, would be able to just be a manifestation of the glory of God here on earth. Each taking their own unique place. And that everyone being a facet in the diamond of the family of God. So thank you, Father, that you want to do these things more than we do. But would you just help us to awaken to all of the truth, that the eyes of our hearts would be open, so that we could see the hope of our calling, the glorious inheritance that we have in the saints. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that was fun, huh?
That was a good idea.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming.